We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Our hope is not wishy-washy. It's not will he, won't he, because we know if God's promised something, he's going to do it. We know that we can hope in God and that he will never let us down. James 1:17 says that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So we're not going to encounter God in a mood today, but then he's going to be in a different mood tomorrow, and you know he's maybe just changed, he's a bit changeable, so we're not really sure what way he's going to be. That's not the God we face. That's why we have a firm and a secure hope. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He's the same. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's faithful. So we have this hope that can be anchored into him. This hope is something totally different than hopes, dreams, and aspirations that others might have. But 1 Peter 1:3 declares it to be a living hope. It's alive, it's vibrant, and it changes our lives. And so today I've got a really simple acrostic for us to try and help us to understand how this hope can make a difference within our lives. And I've used the word hope with this acrostic, okay? I'm really getting into these acrostics lately, aren't I? Okay, but it's helpful, and hopefully you'll be able to remember it and maybe even take a few notes or whatever, and it will be helpful as you walk through your life with God. So the first one then, what this hope means for us and why we can have hope is because we have help. We have hope because we have help. In Revelation chapter 2, when speaking to the church at Pergamum, who were getting things really tight and really tough, God says to them this. He says, I know where you live. I know where you live, and that's a really encouraging thing. God kind of identifying with these people, going through difficult times and saying, I know where you live, I know where you're at, I know what you're going through. We have help. Not only does God know, but he's there in the midst of it. He's there in the midst of our difficulty. He's there in the midst of every circumstance of life. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we know that he's always there, ever present. Psalm 46, verse 1, I just love this psalm. And it just says that God is our refuge and ever-present help in times of trouble. So in difficulty, in situations that feel too much for us, we know that we've got help because we've got an ever-present help in times of trouble, in times of difficulty, ever-present. We're never alone. We're never at a loss without God within our lives. He is always there. The maker of heaven and earth is by our side. I don't know about you, but that encourages me today. That I find hope and encouragement from that today. And this is the promise that I'd love us to focus on this particular part. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. And because we have a God who is our help, because we have a God who is right beside us, he knows where we live, he knows what's going on within our lives, then this can be a promise for us. And Paul, he writes, he says, I can do everything or all things through him, or through Christ, who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And I was just thinking about this and pondering this. And sometimes, you know, and absolutely rightly so, we use that whenever we're wanting to take this big step of faith. We're wanting to go on a missionary trip, or we're wanting to extend something out for God. We're wanting to achieve something for God. And we can go, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And that's absolutely brilliant. But actually, and it can mean that, but probably the context is much more grounded than that idea. The context is that Paul's saying, I have learned what it's like to go hungry. I've learned what it's like to go through difficult times. I've learned what it's like to have great times as well. I've learned to be well-fed and to be hungry. I've learned this to be in the valley and to be on the mountaintop and everywhere in between. And then he says, so I can do it all through Christ who gives me strength. I can face every and any circumstance and situation because Christ strengthens me through that. I have help. And so there's something that I want you to internalize tonight, and it's this, that whatever you're going through, and maybe you're going through a purple patch and things are good at the minute, well, remember this for whenever things get difficult. I can. Not because I'm a champion, I am a winner, okay? But because Christ strengthens me. Not because I'm the most optimistic or idealistic or wonderful person in the world, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Whether it's the valley, whether it's halfway up, whether it's the mountaintop, I can because I've got help. I'm not in this journey alone. I can. And some of you need, in the circumstance, in the stage of life that you're in at this moment in time, you need to speak that to yourself. You need to declare, I can. I can. Right? If we were in America, we might be up jumping about at the minute going, I can. Right? I can imagine T.D. Jakes in the Potter's House just going ballistic at this moment in time. But we're a lot more sensible than that, aren't we? But some of us maybe need to declare, I can. I can. I can. I'm just going to give you a moment to internalize. If you need to close your eyes, if you need to just pause. You speak into your situation. You speak into whatever it is you're going through right now, whatever struggle that you might be facing right now, whatever adversity might even be in front of you. I can. I can. I can. So, Father, would you allow hope to arise within our hearts and within our lives? Help. He gives us help. Secondly, then, we have hope that whatever we go through, that we can overcome. That we can overcome because of this help. We can overcome. John 16:33, really encouraging words. I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. Amen. How many are happy to hear those words? It's like, no, right? But it's just the way it is. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So you're going to have trouble. You're going to have difficulty. There's going to be times in life that are tough to get through, but I've overcome the world. Therefore, we can overcome also. Our hope is that as we inevitably go through trouble in this life, that we can overcome. And as we go through those moments, and this is something I feel God's really, I'm really trying to appropriate to my own life, that we don't just survive, but we thrive. Even in the difficulty, even in the marsh, even in the times where you just feel you're wading, trying to get through, that I don't just survive, but I can thrive and grow and be all that God wants me to be. This is because of our ever-present help and because of the love of God. You see, it's the love of God that casts out all fear. It's the love of God that once we get this revelation of the love of God, it does amazing things within our hearts and within our lives. And Romans 8:37-39, if you're turning in your Bibles with me, go there. We need to understand this, that, and what Paul says. He says, nothing can separate us from God's love. And as a result, we're more than conquerors. I'm going to read that to you. He says this, no, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else. So help me out, say anything else, right? So that includes anything that you could put in there, okay? Anything else, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So did anybody see the eclipse? I'm not sure anybody saw the eclipse. It was that cloudy. It just got a bit murky for a while. Okay. Oh, did you see it? Okay, well done. You must have got the only patch in the UK of sky that wasn't cloudy. I actually do remember the last one in 1999, and I remember how dark it got. It was pretty incredible. And so I was thinking about this. You know, the idea of the eclipse is that the moon comes into the line of the sun. And you know, sometimes we feel like our circumstances are able to do that. Sometimes we feel like there's something that can come between us and the love of God, because whenever we go through difficult times, whenever we go through something that seems testing, then we feel like we've been eclipsed from the love of God. We feel like it's got awful dark and God can't love me as much as he loves someone else because I'm going through a difficult time. I'm going through something that's rough. I'm going through something that's difficult. I'm going through something that's tough. God couldn't possibly love me as much as he loves Jonty because Jonty's getting it so easy. Do you know, right? So we can have these feelings and these ideas, but here, I'm just here to tell you tonight, nothing can eclipse you from the love of God. Nothing can come between the love of God and you. And yes, in this world, you will have trouble. This is something we've got to get our heads into. Okay, and it's not that we love it. It's not that we're the Stoics and that we invite difficulty onto our lives. But unfortunately, in the Christian church, we have this idea that trouble equals lack of love from God. And it's just not true. It's just not true because life happens, life comes our way, and sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it deals us blow after blow. However, in the midst of it, we can overcome. In the midst of trouble, and I'm sure you're glad you came, you heard trouble an awful lot tonight, but you can overcome. You can overcome because the love of God has not been eclipsed from your life. In fact, you're more than a conqueror. And the enemy would want to whisper into your life and my life, you're defeated, you're nothing, you're rubbish. God's not even thinking about you. God's eye isn't even on you. God isn't even thinking about you right now because of the difficulty. And sometimes it feels like the brass ceiling that we live under. And yet God would want to remind us through his word that nothing separates us from his love. Nothing separates us from who he is and his love and his plan and his purposes for us. Look at Isaiah 43 with me. So back into the Old Testament. Isaiah 43 and verses 1 to 2. And it says there, but now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. And there's going to be times when we walk through water. There's going to be times when we walk through the fiery furnaces of life. But God's promise is that we will overcome, that we will have a buoyancy about our lives, that we cannot be sunk, that we cannot be put under because we're the children of God, because we're the head and we're not the tail, because his love is in us and we can overcome in the midst of those difficulties. Amen. Amen. So we can thrive, not just survive, not just stay about, but that even in the midst of those things, I'm going on to my next point too quickly, but even in the midst of those things, God can do incredible things within our lives that actually allow us to grow bigger than ever we could off of life had have been really easy. So we can overcome. Thirdly then, the P of hope. We have the hope that God will achieve his purposes in our lives. Do you know, sometimes when we go through seasons of difficulty and trouble, sometimes we lose the hope of the purposes of God. Sometimes we can think that God's forgotten about us, that God's got his eye on someone else, and that we're kind of just meandering through, and that we are a bit lost. During the week there that we had really thick fog one morning, and you could hardly see your hand in front of you, especially whenever you were trying to drive through it, and you had a nice altercation with a tractor on one of the roads, who just, obviously he couldn't see me, and he just decided to turn, and just right across the road, and it's like, whoa, thank goodness I was taking it easy. But there's these moments in fog, and in storms, and whenever we lose sight because of what's going on, that we can feel disorientated, and we can feel like we're going to get lost. Cara and I sometimes watch a guy called Bear Grylls. Anybody else like Bear Grylls? Okay. And he's an adventurer, and he does all sorts of crazy things. And but one of the shows that he does is that he kind of he has got alongside some other adventurers who got into like really dangerous situations, and he sort of remaps out what happened to them and telling their story. And lots of them got lost, maybe in a snowstorm, or there's one guy got lost because a sandstorm whipped up, and he ended up miles away from where he was meant to be, and he thought he was going to die, and somehow he got rescued, and it was just a great story in the end. But sometimes we can feel like that, can't we? That our circumstances, things have come into our lives, the perfect storms, the rising up of fog and difficulty and trouble in our lives, and we feel like we've lost the purposes of God. We feel like God's kind of forgot about us. He set us down by the side, and he has decided to, he's focusing on someone else at the minute. I don't know if anybody else ever felt like that. Yeah, I know I definitely have that sometimes. And you feel like, God, what's going on here in your purpose and plan? We're not moving forward. We don't feel like we're making any headway here. We don't feel like we're achieving anything here because of what all's going on. Have we lost it? Have we missed it? And sometimes that can feel like the way it's going, and yet God wants us in those moments to trust him. It reminds me of a wee story that I read one time, and it was about a house fire that happened in someone's home, and it was a family was in the house, and the smoke detector went off, and the dad ran, and he got the kids, and he had them, and he was carrying the baby, and the mom had got out, and he was carrying the baby, and the wee boy was about 5 or 6 years old, and he was taking him down, but just in the confusion of everything, the wee boy had realized that he had left his favorite teddy in his bedroom, and he had pulled his hand away from his daddy, and his daddy had got disorientated and had just ran on out anyway, and the wee boy had ran up to the bedroom, and by that time smoke had filled the whole place, and his bedroom window was open, and his father was shouting up to the window, and he was shouting to him, "Johnny, Johnny," and Johnny looked out, and he says, "Johnny, you need to jump, you need to jump," and he says, "Daddy, I can't see you through the smoke, I can't see anything." But his daddy shouts up, he says, "All right, son, I can see you, just jump." And it just makes me think sometimes we can't see, but God's just calling us to trust him. God's calling us to depend on him. God's calling us that even whenever we can't see what's right in front of us and we can't see what he's doing and how his purpose is unfolding within our lives, sometimes he's saying, "But just trust me." Romans 8:28 says that he works together all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. That's those of us who have said yes to him. That's those of us who have said yes and are walking with him. And so every circumstance that comes within our lives, and listen, I'm glad I don't have to figure out how he does it, but somehow he works out his purposes. Somehow he shapes our hearts, he shapes our lives, he's able to do what only he can do. And to us, have you ever seen someone who does like a crochet thing? And have you ever seen the other side of it? It looks like a mess. It looks like nothing. And sometimes in life, that's the bit we get to see at the minute. Isn't it? It just looks like an absolute mess. What's that all about? And someday, we might get the privilege of some circumstances where God turns it and goes, "Right, there's the picture. It was short night there." And you go, "Wow. Wow, God, look at that." Might even be in eternity whenever God sits us down and goes, "Here's what I was crafting. Here's what I was doing. Here are the colors and the vibrancy and the differences, and here's what that brought about in your life." I'm looking forward to that because there's a few things in my life I don't quite understand yet. Yeah, I'm sure there's some of you like that as well. But God is working it out. In Genesis 50, verse 20, we have that wonderful statement from Joseph, who says to his brothers who had been evil towards him, and he said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." And, you know, I was thinking about Joseph even this year. And I'm doing the reading through the Bible in a year plan. And it just really amazed me. Even the time whenever Joseph was in jail and he interpreted the dreams through the strength that God had given him. And he asked the guys, "Don't forget me." But the guy forgot him. And 2 extra years. I don't know about you, but I'm praying and I'm waiting 2 minutes going, "Is it answered yet?" 2 years went by where Joseph was still in jail. I don't know about you, but that might have fostered a wee bit of bitterness in me. And yet somehow, this guy has a trust in God to work out his purposes. He had a dream from God that God will fulfill something, and he hung in there. And he didn't have Joseph's story to go on. Right? He didn't have all the scriptures, and he didn't have Romans 8:28. Somehow had this great faith to just trust in God. How much more should we, when we have read his story, we've read other stories, and we've seen how God is able to use even the most difficult of things, the most horrible of situations in people's lives, and he brings it about for good. How much more should that bring about trust and dependency within our lives? God is that marvelous way of turning things around. Think of the cross. I mean, who looking at the cross when it was happening could have thought that that was ever going to be a good idea? And yet it's been turned around. Heard someone recently saying, the most horrific thing in history became the most incredible moment in history. That's the God we serve tonight. That's the God that we have said yes to. Do you know, sometimes in our lives it can be a bit like this. Have you ever gone to the theater? Have you ever gone and watched a play? Right? No. You need to get a bit more cultured, people. Come on, right? But if you ever go and you watch a play or you watch a drama or you watch something at wherever you go. See, I'm not even that cultured. Wherever you go to watch these things, right? But one of the things that can happen is, you know, use the audience. And I, you know, even here, we've been involved in some dramas and some bits and pieces. And there's sometimes there's a scene that's a sad scene. And you as the audience, you're captured with that sad scene. And this is just the way my mind was working as I was putting this together. And I was thinking, you know, sometimes we get captured in that sad scene and we're emotional and we're, oh, it's not just, and we're just feeling exactly what's right in front of us. But what we don't know is that behind the scenes, the cast have already got changed. The next scene is ready to go on. The next piece of music has already been turned to. And the orchestra's ready to not kick it up a notch. There's a happy moment coming. There's a joyful moment coming. There's a crescendo coming where we see it all being pulled together. And we all go, yeah, that was amazing. But we're still in that sad scene. All of that's going on in the background. It's getting ready. But we're sitting. And I sometimes think that about the seasons of our lives. There are seasons in our lives where we're captured in the moment. We're captured in that season of sadness, of difficulty. And it's absolutely right because we're in that moment. But one of the things that can bring us hope is that God is working through his purposes. And he's already got the change of scene ordered. He's already got the music starting to rise up that changes what is going on. Do you remember what he said in his word? He said, the morning lasts for the night, but joy comes in the morning. He's moving it around. He's changed his seasons. Does that not just bring you a wee bit of hope? Yeah. Because sometimes we're going through a season, we think, that's going to be my life. That's where I'm going to be. But God just says, no, there's going to be a change. There's going to be a moving of season. I feel that's prophetic for someone tonight. That there's a change of season. There's a change of moment coming about in your life. We need to trust in his purposes and plans. God is working backstage. He's changing the scene, working on bringing a new season into our lives. Think of Philippians 1, verse 6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. He's not finished with you yet. Amen? He's not finished with me yet. He's not finished with you yet. He is working out his purposes. Hallelujah. Fourthly and finally, the E of our hope is that we have hope because we have eternity to look forward to. Because of eternity. Colossians 1:27 says, to them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Sometimes we can have our heads so much in the sand of this world that we forget that we're not made for this world, but we've been made for something beyond. That God has set eternity within our hearts. That he's set a longing that is much more than the things of this world. It's why people have penned those songs saying, Christ is enough, the world behind me, the cross before me. We have eternity to look forward to. Our hope is that this life is not all that there is. There's more, and what is to come for the believer is much better than what is here. Our hope is that of eternal life and eternity in the splendors of heaven. Love John 14:1-3. It says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Okay, he's wanting to give us hope. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. For in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me. Take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Forgive the tongue-tiedness. This hope is that we as Christians, we don't have to fear or be anxious about death, or we don't have to be anxious about our passing. We don't have to be anxious about everything in this life, because God's prepared a place for us. And what a place it'll be. Revelation 21:1-7 gives us that amazing hope of the new heavens and the new earth. A place that it feels like it's so indescribable, but the words that mean so much to us, that there's no more mourning, that there's no more death, that he will wipe every tear from our eyes, that this will be a wonderful place that we're going on. Reminds me of a little statement that was once said. A little girl was taking an evening walk with her father, and she was looking up at the stars and just finding creation so beautiful. And she says, oh, Daddy, if the wrong side of heaven is so beautiful, what must the right side be? Do you know, and in some ways, and I'm not going to get on the old train, you know, and say, but sometimes we miss out on... Oh, I'm going to say it, and I'm going to get shot, and I'm going to never live it down. But there are some... No, I'm not going to say it. I'm wrestling. Okay. I'm never going to... You're going to love me for this, some of you. Some of you are going to hate me for this. But some of the hymns... Yeah, stop your clapping, Jimmy Ritchie. But some of the hymns do speak of the brilliance and the wonder of heaven. Sometimes we can focus a wee bit too much on here and now. And some of the hymns that I grew up singing, I was talking to Roberta earlier today, and I was saying, I'm sorry for not singing along with you sometimes at communion. I just don't know them. And I can learn them. Yeah, don't bank on too much of it, okay? I'm happy to hear you and rejoice and amen with the beautiful words. And don't be thinking next week we're bringing out the hymnals either, right? However, some of the hymns that I grew up singing were hymns that always ended on a focus of eternity. And it brought such hope. And some of the new songs that are coming through are brilliant too. And Richard's going to sing one of them at the end, and it reminds us of heaven. But let me quote you a few of the last verses of some of the hymns, because they bring us such hope, and they bring us such a celebration of this truth. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and lead me home, what joy will fill my heart. Then I shall bow with humble adoration and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art. You get a prize if you're able to guess what all of these are. But Lord, 'tis for thee, for thy coming we wait. The sky, not the grave, is our goal. O trump of the angel, O voice of the Lord, blessed hope, blessed rest of my soul. When he comes, our glorious king, I'm so tempted to sing them, I won't. All his ransomed home to bring, then anew this song we'll sing. Hallelujah, what a Savior will descend into mayhem. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with a glittering crown on my brow, if ever I loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. And on that day, when my strength is failing, see, I had to balance it, right? There's some awesome songs there, and most all the songs we sing are incredible. And on that day, when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending, 10,000 years and then forevermore. We've got eternity to look forward to, folks. This is not all there is. And this isn't even half of what there is in terms of quality and quantity. This is not our home. We have a hope. As believers, we're to be different. We're to be people of hope. And this hope can persevere through all seasons of our lives because we are assured of his help. We will overcome. God's purposes cannot be thwarted, and we have eternity to look towards. Romans 15:13 says this, and this is my prayer for each one of us. And guys, maybe you could come. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Guys, we're meant to be different. And part of that difference is that we have a hope that endures, a hope that perseveres, a hope in a faithful and wonderful God. And our prayer, even as we celebrate with these songs, is that we would know that we have that faithful God. And my prayer is that we will overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.